There is one position group on this Tennessee Titans roster that is more improved than any other. No, it's not the wide receivers. Surprisingly, it is the cornerback room. This group has been heavily upgraded since last season, and we're going to break it down as part of our positional preview series today, focusing on the cornerbacks. This is the Music City Audible. Let's get to it. Welcome, everyone, to another episode of the Music City Audible, a Tennessee Titans podcast. I'm your host, Justin Graver, full-time NFL podcast producer for Odyssey, and joining me, as always, the managing editor of TitanSize.com, publisher for NFL Draft on SI, my co-host, Justin Mello. Justin, as I mentioned yesterday, the Cam Ward Season 3 quarterback series on Netflix is out as of today. We are going to watch it. We are going to talk about it on the show next week. Give everybody out there a chance to watch it themselves, and then we'll break it down on Monday's show. This week, we're finishing up our positional previews ahead of Titans training camp. We did the safeties yesterday, cornerbacks today, and I believe this position group is more upgraded than any other on the roster.
Well, I don't disagree with you, and I'm doing well. Not that you asked, but the people expect me to say it, so I'm going to say it anyway.
Hey, you be you. Don't do it for them. Don't do it for me. But if it's for you, then do it for you.
It comes from inside the heart. Excited about this Titans cornerback room this year. Within the first few days, hours of free agency, they had committed, and I believe I did the math correctly, $112 million to three different signings. That position group received more money in it than any other position group in free agency. You could argue it received more investment. Now, you could argue against me and say, well, the fourth overall pick plus the $70 million to Wandale Robinson. I think the cornerback room, it also had three players added through free agency. So they went into the offseason really badly needing to revamp this room. That's precisely what Mike Borgonzi did, signing two new starters on the boundary in Alante Taylor and Cordell Flott. And that's who we're going to start off talking about today.
Just looking at where they were going into last season, when you had L'Jarius Sneed and Jarvis Brownlee Jr. on the outside and Roger McCreary in the slot. And I remember sitting here talking, Justin, last offseason, being excited for that trio of corners. We also did a whole podcast on how important it was that L'Jarius Sneed must have a bounce back season in 2025. He obviously did not. And by the end of the year, the Titans were starting Jalen Armour Davis, Daryl Baker, and Marcus Harris, a completely new group of corners.
Kyrie traded away. It was a mess.
Yeah, they traded away two of those guys. L'Jarius Sneed went on IR early, didn't play much last year. But Justin, I went ahead and looked at PFF coverage grades, which, grain of salt, PFF, everybody knows the PFF disclaimer, just to see, like, when we say this is the most upgraded position group, is there factual statistical evidence to support that claim? The answer is yes. Now, Marcus Harris was actually by far the highest rated Titans corner last year, coming in 39th in PFF coverage grades. This is out of 120 corners. Keep in mind, most NFL teams start two, play three regularly. So 39th is actually pretty good ranking, especially when you look at where the other Titans corners came down on this list. Kyir Elam was the 84th highest graded player. Daryl Baker Jr., 92 out of 120. Jalen Armour Davis, 105 out of 120. And L'Jarius Sneed tied for 106th out of 120. This was a pathetic group of corners outside of Marcus Harris, which is great because Marcus Harris is going to be your starting nickel corner. So where were Cordell Flott and Alante Taylor, you ask, the new starters on the outside? Cordell Flott, 35th highest graded corner. Wow. Alante Taylor, 40th. Now, again, that doesn't sound like super. They're not top 10, right? But it's PFF, grain of salt, a lot of guys on the field. And when you compare it to what the Titans were rolling out last year, it is a massive, massive improvement.
That's a huge improvement, in my opinion. And you look at how different this room is. If you look at last year's initial 53-man roster to what this year's is going to be, you are guaranteed that only one player will be in common, and that is Marcus Harris. Everyone else is new or different, or the slight chance that the last one joined the team late last season, so was not on the initial 53-man roster. We'll talk about that during the next segment, but excited to have Alante Taylor and Cordell Flott here in Tennessee. Top 40 corners in coverage grade, according to Pro Football Focus last year. And, you know, Taylor, obviously from the state of Tennessee, played football for the Vols in the state of Tennessee, well-liked here already. I think he's going to live up to the terms of his contract, like 3 years, $58 million, whatever it was. He's scrappy. He's feisty. I think he fits the profile of a Robert Saleh defense. Two weeks ago, when we ranked like offseason acquisitions, I had him ranked at number 5, and I was pumped about having him. You actually had Cordell Flott ranked ahead of him, and I'll be honest with you, you made a compelling argument, like just the breakout age thing. Cordell Flott, several years younger than Alante Taylor, even though they've both played 4 years in the NFL, Flott came, you know, entered the NFL draft at a significantly younger age than Taylor did.
And 5 spots higher on PFF's coverage grades, which I didn't know 2 weeks ago.
5 spots higher. I also believe if you look at his coverage grade, according to PFF, or both, passer rating allowed, it got better every single year in the NFL. That's not surprising when you got a guy who entered the league at 20. You know, he was a lot better at 23 than he was at 2021, you know, so on and so forth. So I'm really excited about having Cordell Flott and Alante Taylor, both of them, don't get me wrong. But something about Flott's age and the way he's gotten better every year in the NFL. We know how bad Robert Saleh wanted him here. There was that story that circulated, how the Titans convinced him to come here when he was initially being pulled in another direction. And after a phone call with Robert Saleh, kind of changed his mind after hearing how he'd be utilized in this defense and the scheme and the system and all that. I think the Titans are, I mean, it's non-debatable. They're significantly better at outside corner than they were a year ago. I don't know that they have an elite shutdown guy. You know, none of these guys are Derek Stingley or Pat Surtain or Christian Gonzalez or whatever. But I think they are very good NFL caliber starting cornerbacks. And as we've said, that's a far cry from where they were a year ago.
Yeah, and I think we can't overstate the impact that this is going to have. We talked about it yesterday with how it helps Amani Hooker not have to cover the mistakes of his teammates as much. But, you know, again, I agree with you. Like, you don't have the guy that you're going to throw on, you know, Jamar Chase and just say, all right, he's locked down. Not that any team really has somebody like that. But you don't have anybody that you feel great about just saying, you go match up with the other team's best receiver, where you follow him around. Like, that's not the kind of cornerback room they've built. But they also don't have a guy that's going to be like, okay, the quarterback's going to be looking his way on every single snap. And so I think this defense is going to ask their corners to play a lot of zone, a lot of stuff where the eyes are on the quarterback or the eyes are in front of them, reading and reacting, getting downhill. We've heard Cedric Gray talking about how that's changed for the linebacker position. I think there's going to be a lot of that in the cornerback room as well. Gus Bradley's not running this defense. He is the defensive coordinator. It's Robert Saleh's defense. But one of the criticisms, actually, of Gus Bradley's defenses, especially when he was in Indianapolis all those years, was that they weren't very multiple in their coverages. They just dropped back into like a cover 3 zone shell and read and reacted to everything in front of them. Don't give up the big play, maybe giving up more underneath than like you would like to see just in the general flow of the game watching as a fan. But that's also what the Legion of Boom executed to an impeccable level when they had one of the best defenses, maybe the best defense of the century behind the 2000 Ravens, who barely make it into the century. So that kind of defense can, like, when you have better players than you had, than what the Titans had last year, in that kind of defense, they can make, they're in position to make plays because they're reading and reacting downhill, ability to get interceptions and deflect and disrupt passes. It's a lot harder, Justin, to get an interception when you're in sticky man coverage than it is in zone coverage when you're reading the quarterback's eyes, reading route combinations, and trying to jump passing lanes. You can do that a lot easier in a zone look. I think the Titans are going to run a lot of zone, and I think these corners are well-suited to read and react to what's in front of them, aggressive downhill attackers, especially Alante Taylor, but Cordell Flott as well. And I think that I just think that this is a very underrated position group from a national perspective, and if they stay healthy, like, this Titans defense is going to be a lot better than many people are projecting they are going to be.
Yeah, I'm with you, and a great call on the scheme because I do think Taylor's such a good fit in zone because he loves to trigger downhill, kind of get on his horse, see it, and attack. And then Cordell Flott is lanky, but he's long, right? So, you know, like his ability to get his hands on the football, you know, in different zone coverage looks. So I'm going to quickly touch on the starting nickel corner, Marcus Harris, who's the only guy who's back from a year ago. Played good football down the stretch last year when he entered the lineup after the McCreary trade. He also had a late season injury, so I believe he ended on IR. But I see Marcus Harris similarly to the discussion we had about Kevin Winston last year. I know he was a sixth round pick, so the draft pedigree is not quite as there as it is for Winston. But I'm expecting a big sophomore breakout year for Marcus Harris. Similar to Winston, the coaching staff, Robert Saleh, the other coaches in that DB room, they've praised Marcus Harris all offseason long. He spoke at the podium at one point during minicamp, kind of tells you how they feel about him. I don't think he's facing any competition for that nickel role whatsoever. I think he's going to play a lot. Like if he's healthy, I see him having like an 80% snap share workload on a weekly basis. Like he's going to be on the field a lot. I love his playmaking ability. He also, you know, triggers downhill, tackles, gets his hand on the ball. I think we're due for a breakout year for Marcus Harris, and I'm pumped to have him in the slot.
Yeah, like you said, the coaching staff has been praising him. In fact, Robert Saleh's quote from, I think it was early in OTAs, "Don't sleep on Marcus. I think he's going to be a fun one to watch," referring to Marcus Harris. And that was just sort of unprompted, talking about the cornerback depth. Don't sleep on Marcus. So I hope Titans fans aren't sleeping on Marcus. I think, if anything, Titans fans are probably too high on all of the players, because that's what being a fan is. We get too high on all of our own players. But I do think Marcus Harris is, I agree with you, he's going to play a ton. And he's also poised for a breakout year and potentially being another Mike Borgonzi day three cornerback find, which I say another because he was pretty famous for doing that in Kansas City. And we're going to talk about a corner he brought over from Kansas City along with the rest of the room right after this break. This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. We talk about mental health more openly now, but asking for help can still feel hard, and BetterHelp's latest research confirms it.
BetterHelp's 2026 State of Stigma report surveyed 2,000 Americans and revealed that 85% of Americans believe getting support is wise, yet 74% say society discourages people from actually doing so. What can we as a society do to close this gap between believing in mental health support and actually seeking it out?
Well, we can start by encouraging each other to seek support when we need it. And if you're thinking of starting therapy, you should know that BetterHelp is the world's largest online therapy platform.
All you have to do to get started is fill out a short questionnaire, and BetterHelp takes care of matching you with a therapist. The best part? If you aren't happy with your match, switch to a different therapist at any time from any of BetterHelp's tailored recommendations.
Don't let stigma stand in the way of support. Start therapy with BetterHelp. Sign up and get 10% off at BetterHelp.com. That's BetterHelp.com. Welcome back, Justin. All right, we covered the starting trio, but as we know in the NFL, unfortunately, your starting trio at any position usually doesn't make it all the way through the year unscathed. You gotta go to your depth at some point. We're gonna talk about that depth now, and the Titans making upgrades in that department as well, signing Joshua Williams. You talked about the three corners that they signed. Joshua Williams was the third one, and actually, I think he might have been the second one, because when they signed Joshua Williams, it was like, wait, is this gonna be their other starter to go
That's
with
Alonte right.
Taylor. I think that was before the Flott stuff had been announced or agreed to. So Joshua Williams comes in as your top depth option, sort of taking on what I would say is the Daryl Baker Jr. role of last year, where first corner off the bench. And the other guys in the room, Micah Robinson, who has been, you know, maybe getting a little bit of publicity for being on the wrong end of Carnell Tate highlight reels plays during OTAs. But honestly, Micah Robinson, I mean, the fact that he is in sticky coverage on Carnell Tate in the right position to try to make a play on the ball and just getting beat by, you know, better throw, better catch. I think Micah Robinson showed something last year that he's at least a depth player in this league, maybe not a quality starter, but a guy that you can put on the field and not feel like you're going to get killed. And then you have a handful of UDFA guys in Jalen McMurray, Latrell McCutcheon Sr., and Jaden Lucas to go along with Kedrine Callaghan as the last guy in the room. Now, you probably keep five, maybe six, maybe six, probably keep five corners. Joshua Williams for sure is the number four. I think Micah Robinson has the leg up on being that number five corner, and I'd honestly be surprised if it was anyone else. If they keep six, we'll see if there's room for a sixth, but I think if we're breaking down who makes the roster, it's the three guys who are starting, Josh Williams and Micah Robinson, as close to locks.
Yeah, I'll tell you why I only slightly disagree with the last part of that, but I do think Joshua Williams shouldn't be handed anything, but is definitely the overwhelming favorite to be the number four. Mike Borgonzi knows him, you know, had a hand in drafting him with the Kansas City Chiefs. He didn't play much last year. The Chiefs were very healthy at corner, you know, Trent McDuffie, Jalen Watson, but he played about 400 snaps at corner in 2024 and about three and change in 2023. So he has played a decent amount of corner in this league. He's big. He's long. He's not versatile, but he's definitely the number one option on the outside.
Yeah,
behind Flott and Taylor. I don't think he could play the nickel, but maybe there's a world out there where if you have an injury to Marcus Harris, maybe Alante Taylor plays the nickel and Joshua Williams replaces Taylor outside. The Titans will have some flexibility and options with what they'd want to do in any situations where there are injuries. But yeah, I think Williams is the overwhelming favorite just based on his experience, length, size, and history with Borgonzi to be the number four. Michael Robinson, probably the number five. Maybe I let Easton Freeze sway me with an article he wrote a couple weeks ago on A to Z. But I started noticing this as well. Like reading Jim Wyatt's articles, Kedrian Callaghan got mentioned quite a bit throughout OTAs and minicamp.
He
and
did.
Easton, I don't have the title of the article, but he wrote in one of the articles, like, he's one of those guys that I was noticing like every day. Like, oh, there's Kedrian Callaghan again. There's Kedrian Callaghan again. I think it's close to 50-50 between him and Micah Robinson for that fifth and presumably final corner spot. It's probably a good sign for Robinson that he was covering Carnell Tate at OTAs while Taylor and Flott were not on the field, right? Certainly indicates that maybe he's a pecking order above on the depth chart. But I think it's going to be pretty close as of now, you know, between Robinson and Callaghan for that fifth spot. And then the UDFA corners, I interviewed Latrell McCutchen coming out of Houston. He had a good year at Houston last year. I thought he had good workout numbers. Like, I thought he was draftable. He was one of the UDFA signings that popped to me immediately, not just because I interviewed him, but he played in a big program. He tested well. He's got good size. He was productive. Had a bunch of PBUs for the Cougars last year. So I'm really intrigued by him and wonder if he can get into that mix at all. If you guys are wondering about the makeup of these guys, Jaden Lucas out of Clemson, him and McCutchen are both like big boundary guys. So you assume they are the ones who would be competing with like Callaghan and Robinson. Whereas McMurray is a nickel only. He's the only like smaller corner they signed. So if they feel they need a backup nickel because there's no one else on the roster, maybe that helps McMurray in his bid to make the 53, certainly probably helps his bid to land on the practice squad at least. But I think there's going to be lots of competition here, you know, for that fifth and presumable final cornerback spot. And it kind of depends on how they see it. Do they want a nickel? Do they want a boundary guy? How much do special teams play a role? Lots of questions to be answered at training camp in the corner room.
Yeah, it's definitely going to... I mean, Jalen McMurray has a potential advantage towards making the roster because he is the only other true nickel after Marcus Harris on this entire team right now. Alante Taylor can do it. So that's the question.
Right.
Like, do you feel better having an undrafted free agent coming out onto the field as your backup nickel in the case of a Marcus Harris injury so that Alante Taylor can continue playing on the outside? Or do you feel better? I think the answer kind of is obvious. You feel better getting the corner you signed to a two-year, $10 million contract in free agency on the field and bumping Alante Taylor back to a position that he's very, very familiar with. I think that's probably the way to go. So ultimately, I don't think Jalen McMurray will make the team, but it's a really interesting case for him to make the practice squad as a guy that you can elevate in an emergency situation. That's it for our cornerback preview. Go watch Quarterback. If you haven't watched it yet, we're going to break it down and react to it on Monday's pod. Tomorrow, we will be back talking linebackers. Can Anthony Hill get on the field and beat out Cody Barton for a starting linebacker job? That's what we're talking about tomorrow. So be here. Make sure you subscribe to the channel, like this video, and answer the central question below. Is the cornerback position the most upgraded unit on this Titans roster this offseason? Or do you think it's wide receiver? Or do you think it's something else? I can't imagine what else you might think it is. But let us know in the comments below. And until tomorrow, y'all stay safe out there and tighten up.
A Broadway Sports Media production.